And this morning, I want to preach on prayer. It's not going to be the topic of fasting, but it's more of this question that's been on my mind this morning is, does God hear all our prayers? Have you ever thought about this? Does God hear all of our prayers? And I want to kind of clarify what I mean by, does he hear all of our prayers? I believe God can hear all of our prayers and does, but does he hear our prayers in a way that they're heard and God responds, okay? And, you know, there's a reason why the scriptures teach us how to pray. You know, disciples asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. And there are certain principles at work in how we should pray. This week, I heard a sermon, and the scripture was brought before me, and something just stood out from it that I had never really paid attention before. And I just felt compelled to share the same scripture with you this morning, because it was really eye-opening for me. It's something I've read before, but just kind of passed by, I haven't thought about. But it was kind of caught my attention. And it's about understanding how we pray, how we should pray, and how we should pray in a way that God hears us, like really our prayers are heard. And the scripture comes from Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. If you have your Bibles, you can open with me to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. And listen to this. Listen closely to this. And this is talking about Jesus. It says, in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. I'm going to read that again. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. At first, we may think, well, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense. Because we often just assume and think that Jesus is heard by God because why? Why? Because he's the Son of God, right? That God has to hear him. It's his Son. That Jesus could just kind of wake up in the morning and just say, good morning, Father. He could just say anything and he'd be heard in the way that God answers and really responds to his prayer, right? But that's not what the scripture says here. The scripture says he was heard because of what? His reverence. His reverence. And the actual word, the Greek word here is evlabia, which means awe, fear of God, reverence. So we're actually talking about like a fearful reverence here. It means that I understand who I'm coming before, an almighty God. It means I know how I am to speak to him, how I should speak to him. It's an understanding of a reverent submission to him. You know, a submission that says, Lord, your will, not my will, but your will be done. And I look at that and I think, that's the way Jesus prayed. That's the way Jesus came before the Father with reverence. Then how are we supposed to pray, church? With reverence. So easily we become so too casual in our prayers, I think. Treat it like, oh, God hears whatever I pray and say. You know, no, he may hear in the way of just hearing, but to be heard by God. You know, when we look at scripture, prayer is conditional. It's very conditional. If it was for Jesus, it certainly is for us. He was heard because of his reverence to God. You know, I'll never forget when an old member of this congregation approached me one time after a service, and in a very loving, gentle way, he said, "Jarno, your prayers are spoken, offered in a much too casual way. Do you understand that you're speaking to God? Creator, ruler, sustainer of the whole entire universe?" At first, I was taken by surprise. I was like, "Whoa, what? Okay." I didn't realize I sounded like that. And afterwards, thinking about it, I got a little bit defensive. Like, "No, I don't. Like, I'm praying to my Father." And even think it's no big deal. He's my Heavenly Father. You see, when I was growing up, there was this casualness with our relationship with God. You know, youth wore T-shirts with a picture of Jesus with the slogan underneath that said, you know, "Jesus is my homeboy." It's this very casual kind of relationship. But this mature, godly man who gently corrected me was absolutely right. My prayers were offered without the proper reverence due to an almighty God. Prayer is wonderful. Who loves to pray? I love to pray. It is so good to do. It's so powerful. And what can be more effective with our time than spending time in prayer? But how often do we hear prayers that are just not authentic, or offer up prayers that aren't authentic? You know, in certain times, it's very difficult to be authentic in our prayers, right? I get it, you know. Being a pastor and being on the stage, it's hard to be authentic at times. It's very hard because you become overly aware of the people, you know, in the room and their opinions and their thoughts about you. And it just begins to kind of get into your head sometimes quite often. And you just begin to wonder, what are people saying about me on their drive home with their spouse after church? And, you know, what are people saying when they talk about the church? And, you know, what are they saying about the pastor? And you begin to get so self-conscious. You fall in this trap of being overly self-aware too much. Of like, how do I sound? What does my voice sound like? How do I look right now? What words did I use? Did they even make sense? You know, at least my personality is I overanalyze things in my head. And suddenly you become so unaware that God himself is here right now in the room. And when you pray, you can actually forget you're talking to him because you're more concerned about how you sound to the people in the pews or the audience. So something we should learn to do is that before we pray is to take a few seconds and think about what you're about to do and who you're about to talk to. That I'm just about to come before the Almighty God. And I'm because of God, I'm here right now, you know? I'm alive because of God. I'm going to pray because of who he is. Right now, God is seated on the throne, the eternal throne, deciding things, ruling over creation. And I'm about to approach this God, this awesome God who holds all power of life and death, my very life in his hands, and pray to him. A God who is so holy, who's so good, who's so loving, forgiving, and mercy, and gracious that I need in my life. So is there a reverence there? Is there a reverence, a realization of awe, of fear of God that you are coming before. So when we pray together, I don't want to be concerned of what other people are thinking of me. That's not the way that we enter into His presence. You know, you hear a lot of polished prayers. Ministers even use AI nowadays to really polish their prayers. I'm not kidding you. At that point, are they even your prayers anymore? They spend time crafting polished prayers that sound good, that are smooth flowing. But if they're more about making themselves sound good in front of people than being concerned about revering God, then they probably won't be heard and accomplish nothing. And I believe this happens all too often. My prayer is that we would always pray with authentic prayers to God out of a deep reverence of who He is. That we come with an understanding that we come before the eternal God, all-powerful God who hears our prayers, and He can change things. He changes things. He intercedes. And that excites me, guys. The Bible says all things are possible for God. All things are possible for God. Anything is possible. And that's exciting. We have to keep our eyes on Him who sustains the life we're living at every moment. The Bible says in James chapter 1, just to remind all of us how conditional prayer is, it says in James 1, 6 to 8, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Church, scripture is clear where it says right here, if I pray and I have doubt in my mind, in my heart, that I'm coming before an eternal God who is hearing what I say and is able to answer and intercede in my life for the things I am praying for, the scripture says if I doubt this, then don't expect to receive anything. Friends, we have to get rid of this idea that God has to listen and really hear all of our prayers. Because he doesn't have to. We have to move away from thinking that I can just add on this tagline of in Jesus' name, and then somehow God is obligated to hear and answer my prayers. Because I use this magical phrase of in Jesus' name, like He's some kind of cosmic butler, as our good friend Mika says. No, He isn't. He's an almighty, powerful God who works out His will. You know, we take scriptures like John 14, 13 to 14 says, whatever you ask in my name, this is Jesus speaking, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And then we take a verse like this and think that all I have to do is ask in Jesus' name, and, you know, God somehow has to do it. But there's conditions here as well. First of all, it has to be something that glorifies God according to His will. And then the next chapter, Jesus says in John 15, 7, says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Here's another condition. There has to be a relationship there, guys. A deep relationship with Jesus, that you abide in Him and He abides in you. You know, it's like somebody who works for a company. And they have an employment contract with that company. They have a position, a relationship with that company, and they fly overseas to do business with someone else. They have an authority to do things business transactions on behalf of this company that they have a relationship with, right? Because there's a contract there. It's the same way that we have a relationship with Jesus when we've entered into covenant with him through the cross of Christ, that we have a relationship, that we can come before God in prayer and ask things in the name of Jesus. But if there's no relationship, then your prayers may not be heard. It's conditional. Because if we hold the Bible as the ultimate authority, there are conditions. And yes, God is gracious, he is merciful, and he does hear prayers and answers them. He is good. I'm not trying to discredit that in any way. But there are certain ways to approach God in prayer where truly they are heard. 1 Peter chapter 3, 7 says, "Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life." And listen to this. "So that your prayers may not be hindered." So depending on how I treat my wife, that's going to have an effect on how God listens to me. So say that there are some men who are cheating on their wives, or some men who are abusing their wives, and then they come before God and ask something in prayer from him. Why bother? Really, why bother? It seems ridiculous, right? When they're not treating their wives with honor as a fellow heir in Christ to the grace of life. You know, and the weaker vessel here is not an insult. It's like the difference between a Tupperware water bottle and a fine wine glass. It's someone to be cared for, protected, and cherished. And if you don't treat her that way, how God commands you to treat your wives, your prayers will be hindered. It's conditional. There are principles at work in our prayer life. One of the most well-known scriptures used on national days of prayer is 2 Chronicles 7:14. And what is the first word in that scripture? If. Listen, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. It's conditional. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, just as Jesus did, out of reverence, then I will. It's this if, then. And it's all through Scripture. And we need to have this understanding about prayer, guys. You know, in Jeremiah 32, there's this promise from God. Jeremiah 32, verses 38 to 40 says, "And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for their own good and the good of their children after them. I will make with them an everlasting covenant, that I will not turn away from doing good to them. And I will put the fear of me in their hearts, that they may not turn from me." What an amazing promise, church. It's a beautiful promise. And do you see it? Do you get it? You know, we wonder why so many Christians have turned away from their faith. Even friends that I know have turned away from their faith, from their walk with the Lord. And we've seen so many church leaders and pastors who begin to change their theology, their teaching. They begin to compromise with their morality. What they preach and teach, they begin to kind of preach things that people want to hear, that tickles the ears of people. You know, why do we have so many leaders and pastors who are unfaithful to their spouses? Why are so many pastors caught in adulterous relationships, or trusted leaders have been caught in sexual abuse scandals? Why? And why are there still pastors who are choosing to hang on to God? Why am I still doing that? Why will I not compromise God's word? And when we read scriptures like this, we understand why it's happened. It's not because I'm something special or it's because of something I've done. It's what God has done for me. We see in this passage and we can say, oh, God, you did this. You did this in my heart. And what is that? He put this fear of you inside of me. Something happened in my 20s when God revealed my sin in a deep way to me, and I was convicted, and I came to repentance and forgiveness. Something happened in my time at Bible college where I caught this glimpse of God, this mighty God, who He is. And it's just something that I can't shake. He is eternal, all-powerful God. And at any second, any minute, any one of us could be standing in front of Him. In front of His glory. In front of a God who dwells in unapproachable light, guys. And when the Apostle John in the book of Revelation, he saw the Lord in His glory, and what happened? He fell down as though he was dead. How am I going to respond when I see God? What will happen to me? You know, one of the reasons I preach this book and everything in it, as close to the truth as my ability is, even though it may be unpopular or maybe get me in trouble or be politically incorrect, it's because I have a fear of God in my heart that He has put there. A reverent awe of who He is, an understanding that He is the Almighty God and He is unchanging. And one day we will be judged. I can't twist His word. I can't water it down. I don't want to change it to be more of what I would like it to be. I just preach what God has written down for what it is. Because one day I will stand before the Lord and give account. It's because He's put a fear in my heart of who He is. And it's for the good. It's for the good. It's for the good of myself, and it's for the good of my children, so that we can be beneficiaries of God's goodness, so that He will not turn away from me and I will not turn away from Him. Why do I want to be obedient to God? Why do I want to do what He says? Because I have fear of God in my heart. Do you? You know what? There's been tough times in my life doing the pastoral job. It's been difficult. There's been times where it's been difficult financially. And it's been tempting to look for another job that is better paying. But why have I not left this vocation? Why have I left it for a higher paying job or something easier? Because I have a fear of God in my heart. And he has called me to do this. It's nothing because of me, guys. I'm not trying to brag here or boast or say, look at my effort or my grit. No. It's because of what God has directed me to do. And I fear God, so I will do what he says. So when we pray, this is what it's for, the fear of God. The fear of God, when in our hearts, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? And we've forgotten this. It's the fear of the Lord that leads us to be obedient. It's the fear of the Lord that causes us to walk upright. It's the fear of the Lord that draws us into worship. It's the fear of the Lord that draws us in close to him in a relationship. It's the fear of God that leads us to a reverence of him when we pray. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. You know, when we read about revivals, we read about people who suddenly get hit with the fear of God. And they see their sin, and they repent, and they turn towards him. And then the good news comes. The fear of God is such a good thing, guys, because if we lose it, we will turn away from God. And I don't ever want to do that. So thank the Lord today for putting a fear of him in your heart. And keep it there. Do not lose it. So as we pray, let's remember who God is. And let's pray with a reverent heart, out of reverence of who he is. Let's remember why God heard the prayers of Jesus. Because of his reverence. Because he had a reverence for God. A reverence born out of the fear of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for reminding us today of who you are. And thank you for your scriptures that teaches us, that rebukes us, that corrects us. It is your mercy and your grace at work. And Father, there may be some in this room who needed to hear this message today. I know I did. That your word needs to be tough on us sometimes. To bring us to the right place and position. So Lord, we repent of our casualness sometimes that we have towards you. And restore to us a holy reverence of who you are in our prayer life. Because Lord, we want to have a relationship with you. We want to seek your face. We want to draw near to you. We want our prayers to be heard, Father. Still understanding that your will is better than our understanding of what we want. Just as a father to a child will not give him something that is harmful, we understand that you know what's best. But we can still confidently come before you and ask. We do so with reverence, with awe, with a fear of who you are. Teach us to pray. Teach us to pray so that our prayer life can be effective and powerful as yours was, Jesus. Let us have humble hearts. repentant hearts. Hearts that submit to you. Hearts that fear you. Thank you, God. Thank you for this moment of your presence. You're so gracious and good. Lord, thank you for everyone here today. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for speaking to us. Holy Spirit, thank you to minister right now in our hearts. I just feel that you're ministering to our hearts right now, collectively. We're sorry for the sins that we've done. We're sorry for not being obedient. We're sorry for getting so wrapped up in ourselves. Thank you, Lord, that we can confess every sin. That we can repent of them, meaning turning away from them and turning towards you to follow you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood that washes us pure as snow. That there's power in the blood to continually cleanse us from all sin. And Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us with your Holy Spirit.